We are holding on Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Continuing on the topic of Matnes Kahuna, specifically again the Matonis that we're mostly focusing on this perek, which is Zuri L'Chagayim B'Keva. So the Gemara says, Ula have a Yohid Matnosa L'Kahanta. Ula used to give these Matonis to a Vas Koyin. When the Pasuk says that you should give to the Koyin, he held that it meant you can give it to a Bas Koyin as well, and that means, Rashi says, even if she's married to a Yisrael. Now, when it comes to Truma, as we know, a Bas Koyin who's married to a Yisrael, or even if she's widowed or divorced from him and still has, but still has children from, still has living descendants from him, then she's not allowed to eat Truma, as it talks about in great length in Masechta Yevamos. But here, that's because Truma has intrinsic kedusha. Nobody other than a Koyin can eat it. As opposed to the Zeroy and the Chayayim Vakeva, where again, it is a matonah, you have to give it a Koyin, but nevertheless, it doesn't have actual Kedusha in the sense that a non-Koyin can't eat it, and therefore it will be fine for, therefore, from that point of view, you can give it to her, even she's married to Yisrael, and as far as the fact that the Pasuk says, V'nosam la-Koyin, you should give to the Koyin, well, Rashi explains all the holds that a Koyin for this purpose includes a Bas Koyin as well. Well, Esve Rava l'Ola. So Rava asks Ola, how could that be? Consider the following Mishnah from the Masechta Sota. Minchas Kohenes Ne'echelas. It says the mincha of a Kohenes, of a daughter or a wife of a Kohen, is eaten. Minchas Kohen ain't Ne'echelas, but the mincha of a Kohen is not. Namely, the Torah tells us in Parshas Tzav, the whole minchas koyin, any mincha of a koyin, kolol tiya, should be completely burnt on a mizbeach, lo se'ochel, should not be eaten. However, the Mishnah is telling us that that does not apply to a mincha of a daughter or a wife of a kohen. Now, the amet kohen, if you read amet kohen, v'afilu kohenes, if you're telling me when the Torah says kohen, it can mean even a kohenes, well then why? V'hoksi v'chol minchas kohen kol ti eloi se'ochol. By your logic, minchas kohen should also include the mincha of a kohenes. So you see that the Mishnah there was clearly saying that not. The word koyin specifically means a male koyin. So why here by Zeroy L'Chayayim V'Keva are you assuming that it means that it can include a daughter of a koyin as well? So all the answer is Rebbe. Robert is not actually his Rebbe, but he's a Rebbe, he says in a respectful way, you actually have this expression, Rebbe mitunach, in a number of places in Shas, so here also he's using that expression, even though Robert is not actually his Rebbe. Anyway, he says mitunach. Now, what does the word mitunach mean? Rashi explains that it means I've reached you. In other words, I have an answer to your question. In other words, in Aramaic, you have the word moti, mem tes yud, which means to reach. Famously, for example, we have an expression in some places in Hasidus, moti vele moti, it reaches but doesn't quite reach, referring to certain things involving the spheres and all that. So therefore, mitunach would mean I have reached you, meaning I have an answer for you. In other places, elsewhere in Shas, where this expression is brought, Tosfos elsewhere gives an explanation that it means tunach means literally your burden. Mi tunach would mean from your burden. And Tosfos explains what it means is that here you're trying to burden me with that pasuk as a question. I can answer you right back from that same pasuk that there is your answer. The answer is, the answer is that when it talks about the mincha being burnt, it starts off a few psukim earlier, it introduces that section by saying, it says b'nei Aaron. It says that b'nei Aaron should offer the mincha, and therefore that means a few psukim later, when it says the mincha of a koyin should be burnt, then necessarily it means only the male koyinim, the ones who do the avodah. But by the matonis, it never says anything about b'nei Aaron in the first place. All it says is, v'nosam la-koyin. Well, very well then. It can mean even a kohenes. Okay, so therefore, so Ola says, I have a perfectly good answer for you, that's the distinction. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. On the other hand, in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, we learn, koyin v'lo kohenes, indeed it means that the matonis has to be given specifically to a koyin, not to a kohenes, the yom of sasum and amaferim. Namely, we can learn what's unspecified from what's specified, because you're right, over here it only says the nosam la koyin, and you could argue that that means, not a bas koyin. But you can learn it from where it says more explicitly, where again, by the mincha, where it's clear that the word's clear from the context, that koyin over there specifically means a male koyin. Tosfos actually argues that, and says, that maybe even a coin to ton of Veda Bishmal, that would only be if she's married to a Zer. If she's not married to a Zer, if she's a daughter of a Kohen who's not yet married, she herself is allowed to eat Truma, and which is even more Chomer, as we just said, why shouldn't she be able to get Zerah L'Chayayim V'Keva? So Tosfos argues that maybe even according to Tanud Veda Bishmal, it would be allowed. However, then Tosfos says maybe not. Dveir of Eliezer ben Yaakov Tana. Then on the other hand, in a Braisa from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we learn, no, Kohen, afilu Kohenes, that no, the word Kohen does mean even a Kohenes. How? Given that usually koyin does mean only a male koyin, but he says over here, my timer, why is that, it doesn't say my timer in the Gemara, Rashi adds those words, so my timer, so why is that? Having miut acha miut, because you have a miut after a miut, namely the pasuk, it says koyinim twice, zegia mishpata koyinim, and then it says venosa ma koyin. So therefore, so twice it mentions koyin, so therefore it's twice a miut. And as we know, we have a rule in Gemara that when we have one exclusion and then another exclusion after that, then it actually comes to add. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you actually can give the matonis to a bas koyim because of that miut acha miut. So it comes out basically in practice, he's saying the same thing as Ula. In practice, you can give it to a bas koyin, but for different reasons. You know, Ula is saying that the word koyin in and of itself includes a bas koyin, whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that no, it's more the fact because you have this miut acha miut. So you have different opinions on the subject. So the Gemara continues, Rav Kahana ochel b'shvil ishtei. Rav Kahana would eat matnas kahuna because of his wife. Namely, Rav Kahana, even though his name Kahana suggests the word koyin, Rav Kahana was not in fact himself a koyin. He was a Yisrael, the same way as now. I don't know if koyin is used much as a first name nowadays, but for example, consider the first name Levi. Not everybody who bears the first name Levi is a Levi, the same way not everybody who bears the name Kahana was a koyin. Anyway, but his wife was a koyin, so he would eat the matonis on behalf of his wife. So he held, Rashi explains, koyin v'afilu kohenes, he held that it could be given to her, and therefore he as her husband can be zeicher in them. The Ran explains the idea of the pre-chodesh explains actually the reason is because it's called anam sadi, we can be aidim. It's clear that a woman would want, if she receives the matonis, that she doesn't mind that she would like that her husband should be able to share with them as well. In fact, the pre-chodesh says, if she explicitly says, no, I want to keep them for myself, then no, you can't give it to him on her behalf. And the Ran also adds in addition that here we're talking about it's a Tamid Chacham and he's poor, so we can apply Ishtei Kegufay and therefore he can get it on her behalf. Tosfos points out that there's more than one Rav Kahana in Shas. There are other Rav Kahanas. There is a Rav Kahana in Shas where it mentions that he received and said that when it came to Pidyon HaBen, someone gave him a scarf which was worth 5 sloyim for Pidyon HaBen, and he accepted it. That would seem to imply that he's a Kohen. So that would mean, in other words, Tosfos says evidently there was at least one Rav Kahana who was a Kohen, and that's the one referred to over there, whereas the one over here, it's clear, was not a Kohen and only that his wife was. In fact, he's the same one, Tosfos points out, that he mentions in other places in Shas. He says, if I hadn't married a Basra, the Gemara discusses in Pesachim whether a person should marry whether Yisrael should marry a Bas Koyin. On the one hand, look, you know, she's very miucheses and everything. On the other hand, you know, he's kind of taking away her status as a Koyin by in the fact that we're saying that now she can't eat Truma anymore, for example. So in that sense, in a certain sense, like he's downgrading her. So the Gemara discusses that it depends whether he's a Tamat Fachim or not. Anyway, so in the Gemara in Pesachim, Rav Kahana says, you know, because I married a Bas Koyin is why I ended up going into Golos. This is why I ended it. The Gemara tells a story in Bava Kamma, where at one point he was forced to leave Bava for Eretz Yisrael. So he's saying that wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have had to leave it. It's fine. He went to Eretz Yisrael to a Mokum Torah, but he's saying still it still was hard on me and my family, and that was because I married a Bas Koyin, and like Hashem didn't approve of that so much. Anyway, so that would be, obviously, he's not a Kohen, but his wife is, as opposed to, Tosfos says, the one who received a scarf for Pidyon HaBen would have been a Kohen, evidently. However, Tosfos in that Gemara and Kedushin gives a different answer, namely that he, that again, it's the same Rav Kahana, and he received the scarf on behalf of his wife, she being a Bas Koyin. So that would imply, in other words, according to that way of looking at it, it would mean that Pidin Abden you can also give to a Bas Koyin. So then there is an argument about that point among the poskim. Can you in fact give pidyon aben to a bas koyin? The mainstream understanding among most of the poskim is that not. By pidyon aben it specifically says la'aron alavana, and again, as we just said in the Gemara, la'aron alavana means specifically the male koyanim. There is maybe. Sam Sofer writes that, look, if you can't find a male koyin, then you could do pidyon aben with a bas koyin without a bracha and make a tanai that later on you'll do the pidyon aben properly when you find a koyin. But basically, you should do it only with a male koyin because there the pasuk does say about the bechorim in the desert. It does say la'aron and levanav. Anyway, so again, getting back to the Gemara over here. So again, Rav Kahana, not being a Kohen, but he was able to eat Matnas Kahuna because of his wife. Similarly, Rav Papa ate Matnas Kahuna on behalf of his wife. Same thing, his wife was a Kohen, was a Bas Kohen. Rav Yema Ochel B'Shvil Ishtoi, Rav Idi Ba'oven Ochel B'Shvil Ishtoi, Rav Yema and Rav Idi Ba'oven did the same thing. All of them were married to daughters of Kohenim, and all of them held that the Bas Kohen herself is able to receive the matanos, and therefore that her husband can have them. Again, as the pre-chadash says, because generally speaking, a wife doesn't mind sharing them with her husband, and is perfectly fine with her husband sharing with them, so unless she explicitly says otherwise, then fine. Okay. Omer Ravina, so the Gemara continues. Ravina says, Omer li Meremer, Hilchsa Kavasei de Rab. First of all, the halacha is like Rab that we learned, we discussed yesterday, the question of whether the Levim themselves have to give matanos. We said that it's a suffix whether they're considered part of Om, part of the people, and therefore they, and because of that suffix, we're going to say Amotzim Chaver Levaraya. By the way, Rabbi Akiva Eger on the previous Omud brings an interesting proof that the Levian may not be considered part of Om because in Sefer Yoshua it tells after how the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, so Yoshua had to have them undergo a mass bris milah because most of the men who had been born in the desert over the years had not had a bris milah for various reasons. However, and then the pasuk says, "V'chol ha'om ha'yiloidim b'midbar." On the other hand, Rashi tells us in Parshas Vezeis HaBaracha that the Levim did continue to uphold Mila in the desert. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, there you have a proof that the Levim are not part of Om, not part of the people at large, because we see the people at large didn't do bris Mila, but the Levim did. In any case, the point is, we said that Rav said it was a suffix whether the Levim are considered part of Om, part of the people or not, and therefore you can't make them give the matanis to the Kohen. So now, Ravina is saying that Merema said the halacha is like Rav in that. So if a Levi wants to give the matanis to a Kohen, very good, but we can't require him to. The Huchsa Kavasei de Rav Chista, the halacha is also like Rav Chista, this we learned yesterday. That the halacha is like Rav Chista, that if a person damages or eats the matnas kahuna, then he's potter. The huchsa kavasei de ula, and the halacha is also like ula, that you can give the matanes to a bas koyin, again, regardless of whether she's married to a Yisrael or not, so not like Tana Dreda Mishmal, who said otherwise, and not like ula who argued otherwise, not like Rava who argued otherwise. And another one, while we're talking about halachas in this connection, the huchsa kavasei de Rav Ada Ba'ava. Also, the halacha is like Rav Ada Ba'ava, that he says, Levia Sheyolda, that when a Bas Levi gives birth, Bna Potem, to a Bechor, Bna Potem, a Chomash Sloyim, her son is Potter from Pidyon Aben, from the five Sloyim. Namely, like this, Rashi explains, in Bechorus, we're going to learn in a couple of weeks, Rez Hashem, that Leviim, that Koyim and Leviim are Potter from Pidyon Aben. And the logic is they themselves redeem the Bechorim and the Midbar, so they themselves certainly don't need their own pidyon. Now what about if a Bas Levi is married to Yisrael? Well, their children are not Levim. The status of a person's Shevet goes according to their father. So therefore, on the face of it, they should be chayim. Nevertheless, Rav Ada Ba'ava is saying that they're potter. Rashi explains that the relevant Gemaras in Bechorus talk about that maybe it could mean, you could argue, after all, that that might mean only if the Bas Levi had relations with a Goy and has a child from him, where then the child doesn't belong to any Shevet, then by default we kind of have to go according to the mother, so then we might say she's Potter, but you could argue that when the father is Yisrael, he should be Chayef. Rav Ada Bar Ava is telling us that no, even in that case he's Potter. And that's the halacha, and that's how it is. So nowadays, you have Pinyin HaBen, is one of the criteria. We'll learn about Pinyin HaBen more in the Sefer Bechorot, but one of the criteria for Pinyin HaBen is in fact that neither of the parents is the father is not a Kohen or a Levi, and the mother is not a Bas Kohen or Bas Levi. So all of those are relevant halachas as far as these matters of Kohenim and the various things that we give them. The Gemara goes on. Tana Rabbanan has zroyer al chayayin v'akeva nogim v'kalayim uv'koyin. The din that you have to give zroyer al chayayin v'akeva applies also to kilayim. Now the Torah, when it tells us this mitzvah, says that if the person is shechting im shor im seh, whether cattle or seh, where seh is a general term that includes both sheep and goats. Well, so therefore, so if you have a hybrid between a sheep or a goat, it would also be chayev, because one way or the other, it's a sheep and a goat. And also, over koi, it will also apply to a koi. Now, we learned earlier in the Masechta two possible meanings of what a koi is. One is that it's a hybrid between a goat or between a gazelle or some other kind of wild kosher animal and a goat. The other opinion was that a koi is a different species of animal. Some identify it with the buffalo, where we're not sure if it's a behemoth or a chayah. So now we're saying that the din of zroi l'chayayim l'keva applies to that as well. So if we say it's a hybrid, then that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now, that it means that half of it genetically is seh. And if you're going to say that it's a species of its own, then the point is because of the suffix whether it belongs to one of those species or not. The Braisa continues, Rabbi Yezer says not necessarily. Kilayim abomina ezim and arochol, when you have a hybrid between a goat and a male goat and a female sheep, chayiv matonis, then sure, it's chayiv matonis because one way or the other, it's chayiv because either way, it's set. But he says, minatayish minatsviya, but when you have an animal that's a hybrid of a male goat and a female deer or a female gazelle or whatever, potter min matonis, then that is potter from matonis, as the Gemara is going to work out now why that is. The Marshal has a different use over here, which is that it's not minatayish minatsviya, but rather when it's a koi. Which, now, we said one definition of a koi is, in fact, a hybrid like that. But again, we talked about the possibility that a koi can also be a different species altogether, not a hybrid of two species, but rather something which is a suffix. Okay, so in any case, so he's saying that the kilayim is higher, but the hybrid, the koi, is not. He says when they're both domestic animals is chayev, but when it's a koi or when one of the parents is a wild animal, then not. So the Gemara says, Mechti, let's consider, now, we've discussed this point about hybrids of animals earlier in our Masechta in connection with the mitzvah of Oiseves Benoi and also in the connection with the mitzvah of Kisi Adam. So now, when it comes to So let's focus on what we saw over there as far as Kisi Adam. Kisi Adam is the other way around. That applies to wild animals and not domestic ones, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. So let's consider, the Gemara says, Mehdi, Kaim Alondil in Kisi Adam, Umatonis, we know, we already established earlier in our Masechta, that when it comes to Kisi Adam and when it comes to Matonis, Loi Mashkachas Lei Elevitzvi Aboal Atiyosha, then The only possibility when we talk about, when we say a koi, and again you have two different possible understandings of what a koi is, so we established earlier in the Masechta that the only possible meaning of koi in this connection is b'tzviya b'ala tiyasha, is when it's a male deer and a female goat. So its father is a chaya and its mother is a behemoth. And then the And then why? And so then, so what's the machlokas? Vein that Rabbi Yezer, vein that Rabbanim, the sapphire that we chosh in the Zerahab, and we learned earlier that both Rabbi Yezer and Chachamim, both hold that they both say that we have a suffix whether choshishin lezerahav. Do we have to be concerned about the father's genetic contribution, or do we ignore it? Because do we say that just this, the fact is this animal was born from a certain female, that it's considered to be affiliated with that? So we can say. So in other words, the question would be, here, its mother was a domestic animal, so do we only consider that, or do we also take into consideration the fact that half of it is genetically a wild animal? So the underlying machlokas will be when the Torah tells us that you have to give it in connection with osev es bedoy, and here in connection with matones, when the Torah uses the word seh, which again means both sheep and goats, does it mean it has to be entirely seh, or can it be partially seh? Namely, so that's the machlokas. Mar saga seva for the mitzvah seh. So the Chacham hold when it says seh means even if it's only part seh. So they will say, fine, maybe choshim lezerahav. The animal may have to consider that the animal is half wild animal, but fine, at least part of it is from a domestic animal because his mother was a female goat, and therefore it should be chayav in matonis. Umar Saga Seva for the mitzvah seva. I mean, and where Rabbi Yezer holds up, we don't say that. If part of it is a chaya, then the whole thing is potter. So then let's reanalyze the two opinions based on that way of looking at it. The Shlema, Rabbi Yezer, the potter. So we can understand Rabbi Yezer's shita that he says that it's potter altogether, kasav of seva and mitzvah seva. So again, because he holds the word seva does not necessarily include where it's only part seva, so therefore it's going to be potter from Matones. Why? Because we have a suffix, so we have to look at it like this. This animal might be considered in halacha to be 100% behema, because his mother was a behema. On the other hand, we might have to consider it 50-50, because its father was a wild animal. We would say, because it's a suffix, if we say that we have to consider the father, and it's 50-50, and we say that it's not considered seh then at all, because it has to be 100% seh, and not 50% seh, so then we would say, ultimately, you have a suffix, and hamotzi mechaver levaraya. So therefore, if the Kohen wants the Zerah L'Chayayim B'Keva, he would have to prove the answer to that suffix, and of course he can't do that. So that explains Rabbi Yezer's opinion very nicely. Elo L'Rabbanon, but we have to ask the Kohen to L'Chachamim, why are they saying he's Chayav Matonis? Nihi Nami, the Pasavi Seva for the Mitzvah Seh. Fine, they hold that Seh includes even a partial Seh, so therefore it's going to be Chayav. But why should he be Chayav in the whole thing? Palgo Lishlo, the Kohen should be entitled to half of each of the Matonis, half of the Zeroyah, half of the Chayayim, etc. The Idach Palgo Leimalei, as far as the second half, the owner of the animal should be able to tell the Kohen. I see Raya, the inflation was at Ahab, bring a proof that we're not concerned about the father's genetic contribution, meaning that the Torah would tell us to ignore, even though, of course, biologically it's 50% gazelle. But maybe halacha would tell us to ignore that and consider because it was born to a goat mother, therefore it's considered 100% goat. Fine, we would tell the kohen, bring proof that that's the case, ushkurl, and then you can take the other half as well. Now why, but the fact is, the chachamim are saying that it's chayav, in zroi l'chayayim b'keva, which seems to have noyabim that it applies in that chayav. It said noyabim that it applies to them, which sounds like that means that it applies completely, but even according to the chachamim, Why should it apply completely? At most, it should apply only half. So that's what Gemara says. Amar Ravuna Bar Chiya, my chayev nami d'palma. Fine, you're right. When we say that it's chayev, when we said that it's chayev, means chayev b'chatzim matonis. Fine, according to the Chachamim, he's chayev only half the matonis. You're right. Exactly that logic would apply, and therefore, so he only has to give half of them to the Kohen, because there's no question half of this animal is considered to be set. As far as the other half, we tell him, you get the other half if you can prove that we don't consider the father, and of course he can't do that. So that explains that. However, Mossi Rav Zera, but Rav Zera says, then I have a contradiction from that from a Braisa. It's actually a Mishnah in Masechta. It's actually a Mishnah in Masechta Bikurim. So the Mishnah says, koi yesh v'drachim shavim l'behema. A koi, given that again, it's either a hybrid or a species of its own, there are ways in which it's like an animal, like a domestic animal, halacha. V'yesh v'drachim shavim l'chaya, and you have ways in halacha where it's considered to be like a chaya. V'yesh v'drachim shavim l'chaya v'l'behema, and then you have ways in which it's considered like both a chaya and a behema. And the Mishnah starts giving details. Ketzad, what are some examples? The chelav of it is going to be also to eat, like the chelav of a domestic animal, because as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, only the chelav of domestic animals is also, not of wild animals, but here, because this is possibly a wild animal, therefore you can't eat its chelav. The dummy chayav of chasis kedama chayav. On the other hand, you have to do kisi adam in it, as though it was a chayav. In other words, again, because kisi adam applies only to a wild animal, but this animal would have to be considered like it's a wild animal, and therefore you have to do kisi adam with it, albeit without a bracha. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta as well, for that reason, you shouldn't shecht it on Yom Tov, because you have a question whether you can do kisi adam. You can't do unnecessary malacha on Yom Tov. So we talk about you shouldn't shecht it on Yom Tov. The Gemara discusses that point in the Masechta Beis. Anyway, the point is, we see that in some ways it's treated like a behema, and in some ways like a chaya. And drachim shavim l'chaya, the behema of l'chaya. In what ways is like both a behema and a chaya? Should damar v'gidu asurin k'behema v'chaya? The blood and the gidah noshef are going to be osur, just like with both domestic and wild animals. Now Tosfos points out that dam and chelev usually go together, which is why we wanted to mention the chelev of it and the blood of it needing to be covered. But then the Braisa continues. The chayav is zroy l'chayayim v'akeva. It is chayav. It's zroy l'chayayim v'akeva, which again it seems to imply the whole thing. But Rabbi Yehazah pointer, whereas Rabbi Yehazah says that. So that would also be like a behema. But Rabbi Yehazah pointer, whereas Rabbi Yehazah says he's potter. So Rabbi Yehazah, we already explained why he says it's potter because of the suffix. But now, what about in the previous Braisa? You just have the word noyagin, that it applies. So you could say then maybe it means only half of it applies. But here, where the Mishnah is saying chayev, v'zroi l'chayayim v'keva, then that implies it's chayev in the entire thing. So if you're going to tell me according to the Chachamim, then in fact he only has to give half of it because of the suffix. The Mishnah shouldn't say that it's chayev, implying that you have to give the whole thing. It should say that he has to give half of it. And the answer is no, because I didn't tell a chelva b'domai, because the Mishnah rather had mentioned the chelav and the blood of it. Now there you can't talk about there's no such thing as a half of it, that's chayev enough. You can't say anything about half and half. The whole chelav is also, the whole blood has to be covered. Therefore here also it doesn't mention half, but in fact it does in fact mean that you have to give only half of it. But in fact you only have to give half the matonis, as we said. So all of that is one way of looking at it, that a koi, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're completely potter, and even according to Chamin, you have to give only half the matonis because of the suffix. On the other hand, the Gemara continues, ki yosa Ravin amar Rabbi Yochanan, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, koi l'rabbanon chayev b'kodah matonis. No, in fact, a koi, according to the Chachamim, is going to be in the chayev in the entire matonis. You can argue that only half of it is considered behema, and the other half we don't even know whether we consider it at all, or even if not, we consider it chaya, and a chaya is potter from matonis. Doesn't matter. The pasuk says, the tani we learn in a braisa, the pasuk says that you have to give it from shur or seh. So now the expression in the pasuk is that if a person is shechting an animal, im shur, im seh, which literally means if a shur, if a shur, if a seh. So when it says im seh, So why does it say im shur, which could imply why that extra word im l'rabas is a kilayim, so it comes to include kilayim that those also are chayev, like we said before. So now it wouldn't really apply to a shur, because a shur you can't really hybridize with any other animal which is chayev. But the point is, in other words, that the point is that at least we have something to tell us that Kilayim are in fact Chayev, and Se, Matam Adam Im Se, and likewise when it says Se, and it could have just said Se, and it says Im Se, if a Se, so Matam Adam, what does that come to add? Im Se, the Rabbah says a Koi, it comes to include a Koi, which is also Chayev in Matonis, like a behemoth. So now, in other words, we're saying, based on this Drosha, it's not even a matter of a Sufik, and it's not even a matter that you should be Chayev in only half, then you'd actually be Chayev in the whole thing. So here until now we were saying the Chachamim say the Chayiv in only half, but in fact it's not necessarily so, and in fact you might be Chayiv in the whole thing. Now what kind of Koi are we talking about over here? Are we still talking about a hybrid between a domestic and a wild animal? So the Ran discusses, look, that's what we've been talking about until now, so then we would be saying that there's machloikas, where we said that before we said yuchayev in half the matonis, before we explained that yuchayev in half the matonis, because Rav Huna Bachia had said, because of the suffix, but now we would say that maybe not necessarily, and Rabbi Yochanan would say yuchayev in the whole thing, because even if we don't know, if chosh is in the zerahab, but you're still going to have to give all of it because of zeris hakasiv. Okay, so that's one way of understanding it. However, the Ran points out it's a little hard to explain that way. So therefore, he says that actually here we're talking about the koi we're talking about over here is in fact the one that's a separate species of its own, and which the Chachamim couldn't decide if it was a chayiv or a behemah. So then we would say that the Torah is telling us a special ribui that it is chayiv and matonis. But when it comes to the goat and the gazelle, the hybrid between those, then in fact we would agree that in fact Rabbi Yochanan would agree with what we said before that he's chayiv and only half the matonis. So there's different opinions about what kind of koi we're talking about in this context. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Yezer, hi im lovely." Well, according to Rabbi Yezer, who in fact holds that kilayim, he said is chayav, but he said a koi is potter. So then, hi im lovely. So what is he doing with the word im when it comes to the se? And the answer is rabbi the chalak. He says it's needed poshet to divide it. In other words, you shouldn't think that when is a person chayav and matonis only if he checks a shur and a se. So therefore, you need the word im in between to tell us that not. V'rabbanan l'chalak min alahu. What about then? Where are the Chachamim learning this concept of l'chalak? The answer is nafgalahu me'es zoyv chazebach. They learn it from the fact that the Torah says, from the ones who shech the zebach in the singular. So even one single zebach, then he would be chayev. V'rabbi Yezer hay me'es zoyv chazebach my ovenle. Very well. What is Rabbi Yezer doing with those words in the pasuk? And the answer is Mbolel Khadi Rabbah. He uses it to tell us what Rabbah says. The Amar Rabbah had din imatabach. Rabbah says, as we're going to learn on Amar Beis, the din is with the butcher. Namely, in other words, even though the butcher is shechting the animal and cutting it up on behalf of somebody else, the Koyan would go to the butcher and tell him, you give me the Matnas Kahuna. You butcher can't tell me, go to the owner, and he can, and he'll give it to you. You yourself, fine. If you're not sure whether the owner wants to give it to me, this is the Prima Godim explains. So let's say the Koyin comes to the butcher. The butcher says, yeah, but I don't know if the owner of this animal wants to give it to you. Maybe he wants to give it to a different Koyin. He would be responsible to go ask that himself. Another point is as well, It also means, in other words, the Ritva also explains. Now, before we've learned that the Matnas Kahuna, we said there's technically speaking there's no ownership of it in the sense no individual Koyan can specifically say those pertain to me and you have to give them to me. So what do we mean over here? So one point is the Ritva says we're talking about what the Gemara calls Makire Kahuna. Sometimes you have one particular Koyan where you regularly give your Matnas Kahuna to. So now that Koyan has a certain right to assume that he's going to receive these Matonis as well. So now the point is he can go to the butcher and tell him directly, you give it to me rather than fobbing me off and telling me to go to the owner. Okay, so in any case, so Rava learns that din. Adinim atabach. So Rabbi Yezer now is learning that from the word me'es zoivcheh zebach, from the ones who shech the animal, implying that's the shoichet himself who's responsible to give that. Okay. So that's that. So ultimately, then we have a machlokas when it comes to a koi, whether matonis apply to it or not, according to Rabbi Yezer, not, and according to the Chachamim, half of it, and maybe one way of, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, the whole thing, and again, we can talk about whether it's the same kind of koi or not. Next, the Mishnah says, Bechur Shnis Arvimeya, suppose that a Bechur gets mixed, where Bechur, we learned at the beginning of our Perek, is potter from Zeril Chayayim Vakeva. Suppose it got mixed up with 100 other animals, which are Chayav in it. Vizman Shemeya Shosinus Kolon, well then it depends. If all, if the hundred, if one, if 100 people are Shechting them, meaning each animal belongs to a different person, Poitrinus Kulam, then all of them are potter from the Matanis, because everyone can say to the Kohen, Hamotzim Chavel Avaraya, you have to bring proof, you bring proof that the, that I should have to give, that I should have to give Matanis to him, that I should have to give the Matanis, maybe this animal is a Bechor. The Gemara is going to ask, wait a minute, if it's a Bechor, we have to give it to the Kohen altogether, but we'll get back to that. Echad Shechagas Kulam, but if 100 animals all belong to one person, and therefore he doesn't have that excuse, so then Poitrin Loyasad, so then Pater is one for him, so he can say, okay, I've got 101 animals over here. 100 of them, fine, I agree, are higher than Zerul Chayayim Vakeva. One is not. Very well, I'll give you 100, but I don't have to give you the 101st. Continues the Mishnah. Shows up a Koyan. If a person shefts an animal for a Koyan, so the animal belongs to a Koyan and he's shefting it for him, or Ovid Gesavim, or for a Goy, Potter Min HaMatonis, then he's Potter from Matonis, as we'll learn on other days. Now, when he's saying he's shefting for a Koyan, I could have just said more straight on the face of it, could have just said more straightforwardly that if he, on the face of it, could have just said more straightforwardly that if he, it could have just said that the Korean and that the Korean is Potter, so we'll see on Ahmed Bey's why he doesn't say that. So he's Potter, and the Mishnah continues. If somebody has a partnership with them, so if a Yisrael becomes a partner with a goy or with a koyin and his animal, so it is Potter from Matanes. However, Tzolok Shiyushin, he has to make a mark on it. He has to make a, by the way, Tosfos points out, as far as the case where the earlier, we were saying that the Bechor got mixed up with a bunch of animals, it would have to be all of them are Bali Mumim. Otherwise, you can't shech them. Otherwise, you can't shech them at all, because you can't shech the Bechor, unless you, when it's a Tom, unless you bring it as a Korban. So necessarily, then we're talking about all of them must be Bali Mumim. But, so now we're saying, if you partnered with a Koyan or a Goy, so fine, it's Potter. However, Tzolok Shiyushin, however, he has to make a mark, on the animal showing that it's potter from Zerul Chayayim Vakeva. Rashi explains they used to do that. They would mark the meat when it's potter from Matanes, and they would have it. It would be a recognizable mark like that. Now, Tosfos asks, why shouldn't it, if the Koyan owns only half of it, why isn't half of it a potter? So Tosfos says, because the difference is, they were talking about different species. The whole part of it that's chayev, by virtue of being from the species of seh, is chayev, and that's that. As opposed to over here, not all of it, even the part of it that's a sheep, is not all chayev, for the simple reason that half of it belongs to the Koyan, and therefore we're gonna say it's potter completely. So that would be the distinction Tosfos draws. Next, the Mishnah continues. So again, Tzolok Shiyushin, he has to mark the meat so that everybody recognizes that it doesn't belong entirely to the Yisrael, and therefore that's why he's not giving Matonis. Otherwise, in other words, it would be Marisayim. The Im Oma Chutzman HaMatonis, if to begin with, when the Kohen sells a share of the animal to Yisrael, if he says, Chutzman HaMatonis, that I'm selling it minus the Matonis, then he's potter altogether from the matonis, because now he doesn't even need to make a simen. Those parts obviously belong to the kohen. Another case, Omar Macholi Bnei Me'er Shapara. Suppose that the Yisrael says we learned this yesterday. Suppose that Yisrael says to another Yisrael, Macholi Bnei Me'er Shapara, sell me the internal organs of a cow, the Hoyu Behem Matonis, and one of them is the Keva, which is one of the stomachs. Now the buyer has to give it to the Koyan. He's not entitled to a reduction in the price, because he knew that the Keva is included in the Bnei Me'ayim. Why didn't he say, I don't want to buy that? Why didn't he say, you give that to the Koyan and don't charge me for it? Therefore, if he didn't, then he still has to pay for it. But if he bought it by weight, so I'm buying 10 pounds, and then it includes the Keva, he still has to give it to the Koyan, or Menachalim and Adamim, but he's entitled to a reduction in the price, because then basically the other guy sold him something that doesn't belong to him and included in the weight, and therefore he's entitled to say, among the 10 pounds you sold me is 1 pound that can't belong to me or to you, because that's to be given to the Koyan, so therefore charge me only for 9. Now, in the first case of our Mishnah, we said a Bechor gets mixed up with other Bechorim. So we said there can be a case where they can each tell the Kohen, if you want the Sezer L'chayayim Bekeva, bring proof that this animal is not the Bechor. The question is, Ramai. Now, why should he be Potter? Yogar Alav Kohen Mishnei Tzidodin. Why can't the Kohen come in two different ways and show that the Mimonav Shef, the Lay Malay, can say, if this animal is a Bechor, then the entire thing is mine, because one of the Matnas Kohen after all. The ilav b'chorhu, and if it's not a b'chor, habli matnasori, then you have to give him matanis from it. So one way or the other, he's entitled to the matanis. Why is the Mishnah saying that he can fall them off altogether? And the answer is, Amar Rav Oshi, b'boli de koyin, mokhali yisrael b'mumri. Because we're talking about that the b'chor was already given to the koyin with a mum, and that it came to the koyin, whether with a mum or without. And then what it is, then now, with a mum, he sold it to a Yisrael. So now, once it doesn't have a mum, once it has a mum, you obviously can't bring it as a korban anymore. At this point, it can be shechted and eaten. Now, the Kohen sold it to a Yisrael, which he's entitled to do. Now, at this point, then, so it's clear that as a Bechorah, it would be potter from Bechorah, because as we learned at the beginning, it would be potter from Zerah L'chayayim Bekeva, because as we learned at the beginning of the parak, a Bechorah is going to be potter from that, even if now it can't be brought as a korban anymore. So now the only question is, is it this individual animal, that Bechor or not? So each one can say that, no, this one is not necessarily the Bechor. Had it been that you still had to give the Bechor to the Kohen, then you're right one way or the other, the Kohen would be entitled to it. But now that the Kohen already had it and sold it to Yisrael, then he loses that claim to it, and all that's left is the potential claim to Zeruah L'chayayim Bekeva, and there's a suffix about each animal. Okay. We said a shoyich of the koyin or the kachavim potim and amatonis. We said that if a person shechts on behalf of a koyin or for a koyin or for a goy, and again the animal is owned by a koyin or a goy and he shechts it potim and amatonis, then we said it's potim and amatonis. So why such a roundabout expression? The listening koyin va'ovir kachavim turim and amatonis. Why not just say straight out that the koyinim and the koyin and a goy are potim from matonis? Why mention the point about a person who's shechting on their behalf? So the answer is Amar Rava Zoy Semenes Hadinim Atavach. This teaches us, like what we learned on Amar Aleph, that the din is with the butcher, namely the kohen goes to the butcher and tells him, "You give me the matnas kahuna, and if you're not sure whether to give it to me, then it's your responsibility to check with the owner." Or again, in addition, as we said, we're talking about a kohen who regularly receives this person's matanis, and therefore he has every right to assume that he should get it, and therefore, in other words, he has to go to the butcher, that's why you have the expression, a shoyfet la kohen, when he shechts for a kohen, then it means, in other words, now, that he, who usually would have the chiyuv of giving the matanis, now he doesn't have because the owner of the animal is a kohen. So the Gemara says in this connection, Dorash Rava, Rava Darshan Apasik. The pasuk is in Me'es Ha'am. The pasuk says from the people when they shech the animals is when you have to give matanis. V'loi Me'es HaKohenim. So that means not from the Kohenim. We discussed before whether Levim are in the category of Am, but the Kohenim are definitely not. The Kohenim are definitely not in the category of Am. So therefore they're potter. True Omer Me'es Zoy Chazevach. But on the other hand, then the pasuk continues from those who shech the animals, and there it doesn't say the word Om again. So that would mean Heve Omer. On the face of it, that means anybody who shechts even a kohen. So what is it? So it means even if the butcher is a kohen, but he's shechting his animals that he's going to sell to other people, then in fact he is chayev. Only when he's shechting for himself, would he be potter. So that would be how we understand the two parts of the pasuk. So it comes out from the way Rashi was learning. It sounds like Rava is saying this is actually Jaraisa, that a Kohen is shechting for himself as potter, but if he's shechting for others, he's chayev. We'll talk about in a moment that not necessarily, according to Tosfos, it may actually be only Dirabban. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Ushvizichnei Rab Tavla, the host of Rab Tavla, very often Chachamim would go to out of town to learn in the yeshivas in someplace else, sometimes for many years, and they would have a host of people that they boarded by, and that's called an Ushvizichon. So this host of Rab Tavla, Koyen Hava, the guy was a Kohen, and he was very hard pressed. He was having a hard time with Parnas. So he came to Rab Tavla to ask him to ask him what for advice. Omale, said of Tavla tells him, Zilbi Shtata Fahadi Tavla Yisrael, go make a partnership with a Jew with a Yisrael butcher, Demiga Demifter in Matnasa. Now, if you make a partnership with them, then as we learned in the Mishnah, they're going to be potter from Matanis. Well, naturally, we didn't actually say in the Mishnah that he's potter. We said if he shechts on behalf of a Kohen, he's potter. We said if he makes a partnership with him, then it's fine. But sort of Lushan. So now, sort of Tavla tells him just that. We'll make a partnership with a Yisrael butcher, the Migur, the Mifrim Matnasa, because of that partnership with you, they will be potter from the Matanis. So that saves them a significant amount. Now they're able to save. They don't have to give the Zuri L'chayai and the Keva away. Therefore, Mishtachli Badoch, they'll be more likely to want to make a partnership with you and to give you a share of the animal, and that way you can make some money that way. Well, it didn't work. Chayvei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman required those Yisrael butchers to give the Matanis Kohuna anyway. So the Yisrael says, well, Rav Tavla Pater, and what do you mean? Rav Tavla told me that we're Potter. Omalei, so Rav Nachman says, I'm not accepting that. Zil Atik, go take out the Matnas Kahuna and give them to the Kohenim, like you're supposed to. The Eloi, and if not, Mapiknolach Rav Tavla Mi Unach, I will take Rav Tavla out of Unach, meaning in other words, I'm gonna force whatever proofs he brings, I will slog up and I'll show that it's not so. What does it mean, me'unach? So we have this expression, ma'pitnaloch me'unach, in a few places in Shas. One explanation is it comes from the word oin, which means strength. So like you're basing your strength, you're basing your ability to keep these matnas kahuna on the fact that Rav Tavla told you so. I'm taking that away from you, and I'm saying, and I'm going to say that it's not so, and you can't accept, Rav Tavla's opinion. Another way of looking at it, unach can also mean your ear. So it means I'll schluck them out of your ear. In other words, you're going to have to pay the consequences if you keep on trying to rely on Rav Tavla. You can't do that. So what's going on? What's wrong with what Rav Tavla said? Also, all Rav Tavla, Kamei Rav Nachman, so Rav Tavla himself goes to Rav Nachman, Omalei, my time over Bar Hochi. He asked him, Rebbe, why are you doing that? I had a good idea over here. What's wrong with it? Omalei, so Rav Nachman tells him the reason is to keep also Rav Acha Bachanina Midoroima, because when Rav Acha Bachanina came from the south of Eretz Yisrael, Omer Rabbi Shurban Levi, he told us in the name of Rabbi Shurban Levi, Zikne Dorim Amru, the Chachamim of the south of Eretz Yisrael said, Koyin Tabach, when you have a Koyin who becomes a butcher, Shayim B'Sholosh Shabbos is Potter Min HaMatanis. Only for 2 or 3 weeks is he Potter from the Matanis. Because we don't know whether he's actually doing it for commercial purposes. He's doing it, maybe that for the time being he's doing it for himself. Mikan va'elach, but after that, chayiv matanis, then he's going to be chayiv matanis. We're going to take them from him, and we're going to require him to give them, to a different kohen, because once it's 2 or 3 weeks already, he's definitely doing it in a fixed way, and he's doing it in order to sell, and therefore he'll be chayiv matanis. According to Rashi, then it comes out that the fact that we said the Kohanim have to give it when they're shechting for others would be Daraisa. Tosfos argues it can't be, for one thing, why we have the 2 or 3 weeks. Midaraisa, you're not gonna have the 2 or 3 weeks. And also, if it was Daraisa, how does Rav Tavla not know such a thing? So it must be, it's a Takanas Chachamim. Rav Tavla was not familiar with that. According to Rashi, you can say that Rav Tavla, of course, is aware of the fact that there's a din d'oraisa, but he figured that he wasn't aware of that d'orasha. And you can say 2 or 3 weeks, maybe he's not yet called a butcher, he just happens to have sold the occasional piece of meat, but after 2 or 3 weeks, he'd be chayav. Okay. So therefore, sort of Nachman says nothing doing this. Kohen is making a partnership with Yisraelim. We have an actual butcher shop going on over here, and we can't pater him for much on us. Omalei, sort of Tavla says, okay, but at least give us that 2 or 3 weeks. At least do like Rav Acha Bachanina and give him the 2 or 3 weeks break. Fine, but that's only going to work when he doesn't have an established store. So then it could be that an established butcher shop, then it could be that he's just shechting for himself. Aval Hokok, Kogam Asafta, here the Kohen is partnering with the Yisrael and setting up a butcher shop, and it's very clear that he's doing it to begin with in order to sell, and therefore he's chayev in the matonis right away. So therefore, see, your idea is not going to work. So in this connection, the Gemara says, Amar Chista, Hai Kahan and Dolei Matresh Matnasa. If a Kohen does not give the matonis to a different, if he's selling the meat to others, he's setting up a butcher shop, and he doesn't give the matonis to other Kohenim, Lahavi B'Shamta, Dele Kei Yisrael, he deserves to be in a Chachirim from Hashem. So in other words, that even, so he's being over, even on only on Din Drabbana, according to Tosfos, then you have to put him in Chayim. How much more so if he's in Yisrael, the Bach explains that would mean, in other words, then for sure he has to be put in Nidui, because then he's over on a mitzvah Daraisa. So in that connection, Amar Rav Bar Shila, Amar Rav Bar Shila. So Rav Bar Shila says, you want to give an example, Hani Tabchi de Hutzel, the butchers of the city of Hutzel, Kaini B'Shamsu de Rav Chista, Ha Esrim the Tartan Shnin. They're already in the Sechedim of Rav Chista for 22 years. In other words, 22 years already that they're not giving the Matonis like they're supposed to. So the Gemara says, "Lamai Hilchsa." Well, why is it relevant for us to know that? Does it mean that already it's 22 years and they've gotten used to it, and therefore we give up on trying to put them in chedem? No. Well, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa that previously the Braisa had been talking about when you stop putting a person in nidri after a certain point, when it's not doing any good anyway, that a person is not listening. That would be the mitzvah loisas there. That would be when a person is violating a loisas there. Where? They're going to be getting a severe punishment for it. They're going to be getting Kores or Mrs. Bastian or Malchus or whatever. So there comes a point where when you stop putting them in Chayren. Avo the mitzvah sasei, but when it comes to a mitzvah, we'll impose on them whatever punishment is supposed to be, but we're not going to keep, which is the mitzvah or the kodesh or whatever, and therefore we're not going to put him in chayrim as well. But when it comes to mitzvah sasei, where a mitzvah sasei, he's always able to do it. In fact, Rashi explains earlier in the Masechta that a mitzvah lo says it's a done deal already, but a mitzvah sasei, there's always more the opportunity to do it again. So, to go in oimim lo yasei sukkah veina oise, for example, we tell him make a sukkah and he refuses to make it. Lulav veina oise, we tell him to take lulav and he refuses to do it. We continue to put him in chayrim until he actually does it. So then, what do you mean? These guys haven't been doing it for 22 years, so therefore give up on them already. Make sure that they do it. In fact, not only do we put him in nidui, makino sasha takes in nafshei. We're going to beat him until his soul is going to leave him. In other words, until he's on the verge of death, until he's ready to do the mitzvah. So we see, in other words, there's nothing that we say that we're just going to give up on him. We're going to require him. We're going to require him to do the mitzvah regardless. Rashi points out that when the mitzvah does not involve so much chisorin kis, when it involves a significant amount of financial loss, then we're going to require him to do it. There are portion that talk about why there would be a difference whether it involves a major financial loss or not. So one of them, Tiferes Yaakov, makes a point because after all, a person doesn't have to go begging for money for a mitzvah sasei. So therefore, so in other words, if it's an expensive mitzvah, he might not be able to, and he might have to beg for it. And then another point is that Ramban learns that it's only when do we force him like that is when he's doing it deliberately and rebelliously. So now, when it's a matter of that's expensive, then maybe he's not doing it because of that. In any case, the point is, with the Zerui L'Chayayim V'Keva, it's a mitzvah saseh, why shouldn't we force them to do it and put them in Chayim as many times as necessary? So that's what the Gemara says, Ela B'chansin Elohu B'lai Asra Yasa. It means at this point, we put them in Chayim again, even without Hasra, meaning in other words, Fakir. Until now, we would have to warn them before we put them in chayim. But now that they've been doing this habitually for so many years, and they refuse, and they know that it's also, at this point, we can pronounce a chayim on them without even having to warn them. As the Gemara said, Kihod the Rava Konis Atma. We have an example that a person who doesn't give the matnas tohuna, then Rava would penalize them and force them to give away the whole thigh of the animal. So like this, instead, you usually have to give the zroya, which is a foot, which is the front leg. Now he would make them give away the back leg as well. who refuses to give the matnas kohuna. So we see that you can penalize a person for not doing that mitzvah. Similarly, Rav Nachmanides of Kohanes Gluma, Rav Nachmanides would penalize people by taking away their clothing, by taking away their garment if they didn't give the matnas kohuna. So we see, in other words, that Beis Din is empowered to force people to do that. So the Gemara says, more dinim on the subject. When you're giving the zroya, it's a large piece of, it's not that big, so therefore you can give it to one koyin. The keva la'echad, the keva also, you're giving it, give it to one koyin, don't divide it up into smaller pieces. L'chayayim, l'shnayim, but the cheeks, you can give to two different koyanim, because that's two separate parts, and they're each larger. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? Baki also Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, when Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael Omar, he said, Mamad Rabba Pagina Lahu Garma Garma. In Eretz Yisrael, we divide it up bone by bone. In other words, we take each one and we divide it into each bone. We divide into two and we give them to a Kohen. So we see that you can divide them into smaller pieces. So the Gemara answers, Hasim b'Torah, there we're talking about it's from a shur, which is a very large animal, so even if you divide each one into smaller pieces, you're still giving a koyin a substantial cut of meat. Rav Chisda is talking about smaller animals, so if you give an aver, if you take the zroya, for example, divide it in two, neither one is really a proper giving. The pasuk is v'nosam l'koyin, which implies you should be giving a good substantial kind of giving. Okay, so in this connection, the Gemara says, Omer Rav Gavachon Omer Bechnan, also left from a behemah shleihumu matneseha. You're not allowed to eat from an animal where the matonis have not been taken out, because in other words, it's considered in effect like shtetl, the same way as you can't eat from produce before you take out the truma and mice, so the same way you can't eat from this animal before you take out the matonis. And Omer Rav Babachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, and furthermore, Rav Babachana tells us in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Oichom Behema Shleihumu Matnesel, if a person eats from an animal where the matonis were not taken out, Kiyulu Oichol Tevolim, it's as if he's eating tevil, and it's actually, and he'd actually be Chayav Misubidei Shemayim. We'd learn a Zeder Shava from Trilla. However, the Gemara says, but let's help the Kavasei, however, the Halacha is not like him. Even if the Matonis were taken out, it's stealing, it's illegal, a person's being Chayrim and so forth, but nevertheless, the meat is still Mutati. The reason for that is, because unlike with Truma, any individual grain of wheat or any individual drop of wine or whatever could be part of the Truma. There's no distinction between one and the other. Here's Matonis and the Behemoth are very distinct. There's particular parts of the animal that have to be taken off, and therefore you can't consider that it's like tevel. So again, you know, you are allowed to eat it, but nevertheless, it's still, we learned earlier in the Masechta, actually, we said that Yechezkel had said on himself, and this is the proper way that a person should act, that he wouldn't eat from an animal, shleihumu matneseha, where the matonis were not taken out, even though technically it is allowed.